My name is Mike Smith. The topic that I want to deal with today is foreign aid. And the title really tells you what I want to do. I want to spend some time talking about where foreign aid has been going and then give you a chance to talk about where you think foreign aid ought to be going. This session is part... I want the lights off. As I told someone a moment ago, this is politics, and we try to keep you in the dark when it's about politics.
Maybe the lights off for that.
Yeah,
well, that's good. You can't see what you're aiming at. This is part of the larger theme that I have this week, which is democracy and foreign policy. It is a topic where I probably have the most difficulty making the connection. I suspect that public opinion has some impact on foreign aid. I would suspect that the greatest impact it has is that there seem to be a whole lot of Americans who think that we should spend less money on foreign aid, that no matter how much we're spending or how little we're spending, we ought to spend less than we do. So that would be the impact that I suppose public opinion has. But my concern really is more on the question, which we'll get to later, where should the money be going, than with that question of levels. And I'm comfortable if you want to say, well, we should spend less, but we should spend it here, that's fine. I'm not concerned to anticipate that sort of thing. My tables will tell you as much as anything. These tables, the first one is, this is from last year. This is from the summer last year, and this is about foreign aid spending as we knew it at that time. I want to start, just to not confuse you too much, with multilateral aid. And this is aid where the United States gives aid to international institutions, and they in turn distribute the aid. And to make you aware that there is some amount of that. Can you read this?
Barely.
I'm not sure if it would be better for you to move forward or...
Yeah.
It seems like if I move the screen toward you, it gets smaller. Is focus the thing or is it...
No, it's the focus.
It's a small print. Yeah. No, there is a problem, and I have the advantage. I'm closest to the screen.
Can you move in the dark? Why don't you just tell
us what it says? this is really what I'd like you to do.
Can you move overhead back?
That's the other way we can get closer to you, and then we can focus it if we need to. Although that still seems to be pretty much in focus.
Yeah, that's good. That's better.
Okay. I'm not sure that there's a whole lot in this. I just wanted you to be aware. My problem was I couldn't see a way to project the whole table all at one time. This is not a real large part of foreign aid, but it is something. And the sums down here in fiscal 92, $1.8 billion was appropriated for multilateral aid. The fiscal 93 request was $2 billion. And at that point, they hadn't voted yet. This is summer of 1992. At that point, the House had a bill that had nearly $1.9 billion in aid to multilateral institutions. There's a general pattern that those raw numbers indicate. The President always asks, or normally asks, for more than last year. The House always cuts it. The Senate usually then replaces some of what the House cut. They then go to committee and compromise, and it comes out. It's almost always less than the President asked for, but not as low as the House. And then all those representatives can go back home and say, we tried to cut foreign aid, but that nasty Senate wouldn't let it go down as far as we wanted, but we still cut it some. We still had some success. Is there anything else anyone sees in these numbers that you're interested in? I'm not sure how much you can interpret it, and I'm not sure how much I can interpret it, but if you see something, I'd be eager to hear what you see. Yeah?
Is
The thing that stands out to me is Bush's lack of request for the African development. And I don't know whether that's a, I don't know how to interpret that.
Well, if you look at all of those banks and funds, there's not a whole lot of money there.
No.
And generally, our attitude has been, we would rather control the money ourselves than give it to some international lending institution and let them control it. And two, and this doesn't look like a lot of money to the World Bank or whatever, World Bank and International Monetary Fund, we have a lot of influence in those institutions. So we are more comfortable giving it to institutions where we have a lot of influence than institutions where we don't.
Yeah.
What's this European Development Bank?
I'm not sure. I can't say. I can speculate that it'd be primarily Eastern Europe, but I'm not sure. Any other?
I would say in the past history of how some of these dictators in different parts of the third world has appropriated their funds for themselves and their Swiss bank accounts, that it's a very logical thing people have control over, as they give them to control themselves.
There has been a lot of misappropriation of foreign aid, and we've had that in the Americas, and we've had it in Africa and Asia. It, on all continents, we've run into that problem. Any other observations? Well, let me move down then, because I wanted to run all of these together. You don't really need to see the export assistance line so much. But can you see this? This is, the notion is to see the economic aid and the military aid. And this is all bilateral. This is our country to single other countries, as opposed to the giving it to lending institutions. Are there any, I don't know, we need to remember the headings, I guess, that's the problem. This was, the headings were, this is, first column is what was appropriated the previous year. This is what was requested by the Bush administration. And this column then is what the House voted in the summer of 1992 to give. And I don't have the final outcomes. Anything you see there, anything you have questions about? I mean, you can see the ups and downs, you know, little bits of ups and downs.
What's the Economic Support Fund? That's the biggie.
Yeah, Economic Support Fund is a biggie, and what that is money. There are countries that are strategic countries we regard as strategically important. So the Economic Support Funds are economic aid we give to countries that we regard as being militarily or strategically important.
What are the main ones? Then?
We'll see that in a moment. I've got another table that is the individual countries that we give aid to.
Is all of this in cash, or monies, or is it in goods?
It's a variety of kinds of things. Yeah, there would be some goods represented. Mostly you're talking money. Some of the money is money that they then have to spend in the United States. So it comes back to us. Some of this are indirect subsidies of American business.
Are any of these weapons?
Well, the military. You have, $4 billion in military aid there.
That's not necessarily all money. That could be weapons as well.
And as it indicates, there are grants and loans. So some of this is money that countries are expected to repay.
Do we provide money to the World Health Organization? If so, would that be?
We do, and I don't believe it would be in this table. But the total amount of money we give to the UN and to international organizations is not a tremendous amount of money. The annual budget for the UN, I believe, is around $6 or $7 billion a year. And we pay a quarter of that, so that's over $1 billion.
Have we caught up with our payments that we'd withheld?
We have moved. We are not as far behind as we were, but we have not caught up. And we also have an accounting thing. our calculation about when our money is due and the UN's calculation about when our money is due is different. So they regularly consider us in arrears when we say, no, our payment just isn't due yet, and it will come. I'm not sure if that's a fiscal year problem or what exactly the problem is, but there are a couple hundred thousand dollars a year that are tied up in that. Any other observations, questions? That part of what I want you to see is the sort of the relative balance here. We're saying $6 or $7 billion in economic aid versus a little over $4 billion in military. But on the other hand, $3 billion of the economic aid is really for militarily important countries. And as I say, any other observations?
What are the numbers in parentheses? They don't make up part of the totals. Like the
loans.
Those are loans that we would expect to be repaid. Okay. And so they're, I think these would be off-budget items. Mm-hmm. The government has gotten very clever that we have such a concern about the budget deficit. There are a number of things that we don't count. So if you're going to pay it back, it's not real money because it's going to come back. So presumably.
It's not forgiven.
They felt some obligation to put the numbers in there to let you know what we were doing, but they don't count it as part of the our expenditures. Okay, the other thing I have then is this is security aid. So this is this is aid to countries that are regarded as strategically important. And if you follow this kind of thing, you probably know or anticipated some of these numbers. And it's hard to make the whole table in focus. But what I would urge you to do is start by just seeing who gets large amounts of money. Who are you coming up with? Who does get? What countries get large amounts of money?
Egypt
and Israel. Yeah. Two primary benefactors.
Turkey and Greece.
Okay.
Big increases in ex-Soviet republics.
Okay. And this is, you have 91. The first two columns are 91, what was requested and what was finally approved, or actually expended. 92 is requested and estimated expenditures. And then the 93 request. Of course, the Soviet republics became an issue. And we went from nothing to giving them some money. And if you notice what happened, there's an adjustment there. In 91, the initial request, we requested nothing for Soviet republics, but we gave them a little bit of money, not a whole lot, $38 million, but we gave them something, and that grew.
Looks like a disproportionate amount for Portugal. Nearly as big as for the ex-Soviet republics.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that I can explain that. Why are we giving so much money to Portugal?
The Azores.
It may be the Azores. There's a base. One of the things when you see a chunk of money to an individual country, it may be that they have a base. And if there's a base there, if we have a base there, this is in a sense rent.
It's like the Philippines has dropped so much because we're closing down the bases.
We close the bases, so we don't want to give them so much aid. We don't like them anymore. Although it is really the rent relationship more than the that we don't like them.
So why isn't Germany or one of those? Because we have lots of bases there.
So
many.
Germany is very prosperous.
Well, I understand that, but supposed to reflect bases. Isn't there
Germany? It is countries where we where they're
not so sure
needed.
They want our bases. Yeah. But we subsidize Germany. It's unbelievable. I just spent 2 years over there. It's criminal what we spend in Germany. It's unbelievable.
So we don't need to. Well,
was it on there?
We wouldn't. No, Germany's not on there. We wouldn't feel the need to give aid to Germany. Presumably, they value our presence.
Yeah.
Why do you put rent in some of them then? If it's rent, I wouldn't call that aid.
Well, it's, but this is the way we've treated it. We have an arrangement with the country that they allow us to have a base there, and we give them substantial amounts of aid. And we knew that if we cut off the aid, they'd tell the base to get out.
Or vice versa.
And vice versa, yeah. So this was the understanding.
Yes, but you're not including Germany.
Yeah, because we're not, yeah, we didn't.
Germany is a category, they probably come in under the military budget.
That's the way they confuse us.
Yeah.
Well, Germany, of course, was an entirely different situation, because we had conquered Germany, and until a few years ago, there was no peace treaty. So that's totally different situation.
Well, for a long time, the notion in Germany was that we were there protecting Germany. That was the value, part of the value to Germany. It is not particularly, I don't think Portugal fears that the Azores will be taken, and they are a poor country. They have needed assistance. And they don't mind taking it from us if we're willing to give it. But I think you'd have a lot of trouble convincing the U.S. Congress to give Germany $500 million in economic aid.
But we do. I mean, the way we subsidize their economies, I was on an air base where they were building new runways, everything they did, they had to do with the German contractors. So we do directly. Their hospitals, you know, we have to hire German nurses, the people working on the bases, they have to be German workers. You've got all these American spouses who can't work because of the contracts we have with the Germans. So I call it a
very
direct subsidy.
So you say we do have
a
lot of subsidy.
Yeah,
but hidden subsidy. Okay, well, that's missing. We don't have that. That doesn't show up here. If we go back to who does get this aid one way or another, the other item, I guess, that I'd have you notice is the economic support funds. I said that was the aid that was the economic aid to the countries that we regard as strategically important. The military aid makes sense. If this country is militarily important, then giving the military aid makes a lot of sense. But we throw in, sort of as a sweetener, then this economic aid.
Do you know what type of aid Nicaragua gets? Building businesses or agriculture down the
hall? I don't know. I mean, that's another one of those changes. When we became reconciled, when they held elections and we became reconciled to Nicaragua, we then began giving aid. But no, I don't know the exact nature of that. Yeah.
Do we have any source of records as to how many of our dollars are coming back through lobbyists to buy legislators?
I don't have that information. I don't know if
is it tabulated? Do you know?
Say that question again.
How many of our dollars going to these countries are coming back into this country through lobbyists to buy our legislators?
You do know some.
Yeah, we
know some of it. My question is, do we tabulate it? Do we have any way of knowing how much?
We have laws about foreign lobbyists register, lobbyists generally, but especially foreign lobbyists registering. I'm not sure if they require reporting on their finances. Do you know?
Well, part of the campaign finance reform bill that's still being debated when we came up here does have some further steps towards having disclosure of that kind of stuff. But you actually have to work very hard to find the answer to that.
I'm sure. I'm sure it's well hidden.
Right.
Yeah.
I would suspect you could get at some of that information, but then you'd have to put it together yourself. We're giving so much aid to X, and then we're getting so much back. But looking back at this information, are you surprised, are there particular countries that stand out to you in terms of how much they do or do not get? Again, this is the military. This is the military side of it, but this is
Portugal, right?
Portugal's the surprise.
So Greece and Turkey, so that each can protect itself against the other one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have two NATO allies who don't like each other, and so...
And Cyprus gets a good shot. Well, not very much.
No.
But it's
totally more than
Indonesia. Colombia is an interesting one. That's up from some of its neighbor countries. Peru is down by Tyree the table.
Is some of that in Colombia? Would that be drug-related...
I'm sure.
Well, there's another Indian narcotics.
Yeah, we have just sort of general money. Yeah, we've put a lot of military assistance into fighting drug trafficking.
Is it more than that, Sheriff? Is it more than that, Sheriff?
Not much. There's actually, we're missing a column, so you have a...
No, that's okay.
You have the requests on the right.
Yeah, the biggest is Israel and Egypt. Standouts.
And my impression is that's paying for Camp David. We had the Camp David Accords, and we have ever since been rewarding both countries for being at peace with each other. Rewarding Israel for, in a sense, giving land back, and rewarding Egypt for being friendly.
Recognizing Israel.
Recognizing Israel and being friendlier than most other Arab states are.
Is that the only one that recognizes Israel?
I believe. Isn't that right?
That's right. Yes.
I don't understand the Palestine.
Well,
and it got cut back a year.
Yeah, why was Pakistan important?
Afghanistan.
Until
now, Pakistan. I think another part of that was the nuclear situation.
Yeah.
And technically, by law, we're not supposed to be foreign aid to countries who are clandestinely developing nuclear weapons or refuse to sign the protocol on non-proliferation. And I think Pakistan has fallen out of favor in part because they're not willing to go anyway.
The thing about it is we have known for years that Pakistan was trying to develop. I mean, it was public knowledge. But because they were helping us aid the Afghan rebels, we looked the other way.
What about Israel in that connection?
Well, we looked the other way in Israel also. We have principles, but we're flexible in the application of our principles.
All it takes is the art of compromise.
Well, this is, to my mind, this is the essence of foreign policy. Is you have a lot of considerations, and there is a blending of those considerations. And it's messy sometimes. Anything else strikes you about this table?
So they actually aren't not giving Pakistan anything, even though they asked for quite a chunk.
Where is it? It's on the left-hand side. Yeah, Congress sometimes gets uppity about these things. One other thing that comes into play in Pakistan, I believe, is a human rights issue. And they do not have a real good human rights record either. And so when Congress gets fed up, they get fed up. And Bush can ask for lots of money. If Congress isn't inclined to give it, it doesn't give it.
Of course, that doesn't distinguish them from many others on the list either.
Yeah. Yes, well...
And like, whenever we decide it's important, then we just invoke human rights, well, no money.
Well, no, in a sense, it's the other way around. We are not supposed to give aid to anyone with human rights violations.
We're not supposed to.
But there are a bunch of them that we say, well, there are important strategic reasons why we need to give them aid, even though they have human rights. So, that's the obstacle, but we push the obstacle aside in lots of cases. Any other thoughts? Okay, I have one more table, which I think is maybe, I don't know. See what you can make of this. This is a little older. This is actually, the date is from 1987. But I took it because it's the most recent I have. This is how much development assistance various nations give. I think the chart is a little bit mislabeled. The lighter line, if you can tell, for each country there are two bars. The first bar is percent of GNP, and that is how these are ranked. So the countries are listed in order in terms of what percentage of their GNP do they give as aid, as a development aid. So this will not include any military aid. The second bar is in real dollars. How much in real dollars do they give? And so your first country, Norway, gives over 1% of GNP in development aid, but the amount is only, it's a little less than $1 billion, about $890 million they gave in development aid. this is, if I'm giving a sermon today, this is where the message is. You look down to the United States, you can see the United States is, I don't know, 16th or something or other. These are industrialized nations. We beat out, in this year, we beat out Austria.
We tied to Ireland.
We tied Ireland as percent. We spent 1/5 of 1% of GNP in development aid. But in terms of dollars, we gave more than anyone else. So if you want to count how much we give, we come out looking very good. If you want to look at how hard we're trying, we don't come out very well.
The message in tithing then is all you rich people, as long as you just give a big dollar amount, it really doesn't matter what the percentage of it is of your income.
Well, I don't know. Some years ago, the developing nations developed a standard. And, you know, you have to be aware of who's developing the standard. Their standard was 1%. So by their standard, Norway is fine. The Netherlands are, it's hard to object if you're, you know, 2/10 of 1%, you know, 2/10 short, 2% short. But you get down below that, the rest of them don't necessarily come across real well. I guess the Lutherans should feel good as you look at the countries here, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, they're all up there.
I'm surprised that France is so high relative to most of the other European countries except Scandinavia.
I suspect that what that is, there are countries that aid their colonies. So there are countries like the U.S. that are global, and there are other countries that say, we have certain friends out there, and we take care of our friends. And I would suspect that's what France is doing.
Does this take into account the money we spend on the UN?
This would not include the direct money to the UN. But it would include the World Bank, IMF kind of money.
Does this include the money that we spend around the world to defend the world for our military support?
No, this is not military.
Like Japan, Germany, they have nothing like that. There are nothing.
Yeah, that's where I get a little uncomfortable with statistics. I mean, we fork out so much money for these other...
Yeah, but we're protecting the world militarily, and that's a huge amount of money.
We need to see the other chart, too, that says how much we...
So if you have the military support to defend the world with this aid, I suspect you
come out with different
numbers. We'd be the highest, by far. Mm-hmm. This is only $9 billion. I mean, what's the military cost for? It must cost $100 billion. That would swamp everything else. And the other thing that we do, we take all the refugees from the world, practically.
There are
no countries taking refugees except us, very few.
I can speak to the, I really can't speak to the refugee question. The defense spending question, we spend around 5% or something like that of GNP on defense. Now, if you compare us, if you take, say, the top 10 countries in the world in percentage, virtually all of them are in the Middle East. There may be one country, North Korea, perhaps, that is not Middle Eastern, but virtually all the remainder that are spending 10, 15, 20, Iraq in the late 80s was spending 30% of GNP on defense. And we don't come close to those kinds of numbers, and I'm delighted that we don't. If you look at raw numbers, the US and the Soviet Union were spending about 10 times as much, say 5 years ago, 10 times as much as number three. And number three would have been Britain or Japan, or there are few developed countries that were spending around $30 billion a year on defense when we were spending around $300 billion a year on defense.
Didn't cut that much.
So our totals are enormous, but again, in percentage terms, 5% is not a lot compared to 30%. You look at Japan, that's around 1%. 5% is a whole lot more than 1%.
But his point is well taken in the sense that if you look at an analysis of our defense budget in terms of the mission, about a third of it was devoted to the defense of Europe, and another, which is about $100 million, and about another $50 million or something like that was supposedly for the...
Whether this is being charitable, whether this is simply to further our own military interests. Now, from our standpoint, we are doing this to be graciously intends in the helping world. From other people's viewpoints, they may say we are doing it in order to expand our influence.
You think close the bases, any place in the world, you see what kind of protests you get from the countries that bases are being closed in. They want those bases there.
Yeah, we want them to.
Yeah, but the economy is kind of crumble.
So right.
When we're gone, the economy is nothing.
In terms of refugees, I think, I don't know what numbers are involved here. I do know that Germany at the present time is really almost panicking at the number of refugees that are coming into there.
Just passed the law again.
Yeah, a number of European countries have taken on a number of refugees, and the result has been, I think Britain was really the first back when they had so many people coming in from former Commonwealth countries. They really restricted. They had some of them very open laws and customs about accepting refugees, and they really tightened up. And Germany is the most recent.
Of course, you got included in the refugee situation in the United States. The number of people coming in under the Family Reunification Plan, which is immigration now, but that's still directly a result of refugees coming in.
This is an ongoing issue, but I want to come back to the focus on the foreign aid issue. Keith?
What, is this the discussion section part? Or
well, I have one more thing I want to do, and you've been doing it, and so I hope you will continue to do that. What I'd like to do next is list some of the purposes of foreign aid, as we think about what we've been trying to do, and I want to focus on economic aid. I would like to consider that primarily. What are the purposes? What conditions have we attached? Because one of the things we've gone along, we said we want to help countries develop, but then only under certain conditions. If you do this, we disapprove of that. So we won't give you aid if you do X, Y, or Z that we disapprove of. So purposes, conditions, and problems. What, as you're aware of certain problems that have cropped up in our foreign aid program, what kind of problems have we run into? And I'm hoping I can get this all, do all of this on this board. Actually, I meant that to be purposes. Now, as I thought about this, there are some kinds of things that you can list either as a purpose or as a condition. And I'm going to, I only want to list things once to save time. But there are things that could be listed in more than one column. What would you say?
Abortion.
Okay, there have been, and this has been a condition.
Yeah.
No abortion.
Okay.
No human rights violations.
Okay.
No arms proliferation.
Okay, no nukes.
Yeah. In under Bush, the no abortion went so far as no family planning.
Yeah.
Okay.
No
family planning.
But the purpose was health care, right? And better health care.
Okay, so if you talk about purposes,
we can run along with that, but then it was population control or something like that.
Well, the purpose was to save babies. So many.
Okay, but would you say it has some foreign aid had the purpose of improved health?
Yes.
To think of
food. Feed people, so improved health would cover a lot of stuff.
But under that, it was a condition, and then the problem was the health.
Yeah, well, sometimes it appears as if we're working across purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give them more to raise their economic purposes, to raise their economic. I'm thinking in dams and the problems. One of the problems with building dams is environmental.
Yeah,
they get into environmental trouble all the time.
Okay, so we have environmental damage.
Degradation, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, they're all over the place. They're the one, the three largest in China that's just
promoting democracy.
Okay.
Or conversely, fight communism.
And market economy.
Well, I'd like to put the fight communism as a separate.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. And what were the problems with that?
You can put that down as a condition, too.
Communism.
Yeah.
You can put down fighting communism as a condition, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so say anti-communist.
Yeah.
We have insisted, and one of the areas we've gotten into trouble on some of the international lending or multilateral lending is we give money to some international organizations and say you can give it to anyone as long as they aren't communist. Mm-hmm. Now, I assume we've dropped that requirement, but for some time there was that kind of problem. So they said, okay, well, we will say that the U.S. money is not going to Cuba, and someone else's money is going to Cuba, because we still want to give money to Cuba.
So one of the problems with that is support dictatorship.
Well, the thing is that the conditions line also moves into the problem line. So we have human rights violation and we have nuclear proliferation as consequences of the purpose of fighting communism.
Yeah, and, well, I'm going to put that up. I guess I'm violating my own principle here. But during the Cold War, often, at least one of the major justifications of aid was opposition to communism. And we wanted to strengthen countries' economies so that communism would lose its appeal, so that they would address issues of social justice and wouldn't, you know, communism wouldn't be attractive.
Actually, you should put down support anti-communist dictatorships, really, as long as you're...
Fine.
You're absolutely right.
Have you included feeding under improved health, or...?
Okay, say...
agriculture.
Okay. And that's, in a sense, it's two kinds of things. We had food surpluses in the 50s and 60s, and my sense is, I always remember the initial Food for Peace bill was supported by two Midwestern senators, Dole and McGovern. Mm-hmm. And I understand McGovern is a liberal Democrat wanting to give food to starving people overseas, but Bob Dole is a conservative Republican. There's wheat from Kansas, and too much wheat in Kansas.
Another purpose is develop markets for our products.
Okay.
That's also a condition, too, that they buy American.
Right.
Well, yeah. The purpose is to make friends, huh? We want to make friends with these folks so we can trade with them.
Okay, so...
I guess that developed
market. Okay, developed market. Well, markets is I think, a little different.
Develop dependency as much as...
Yeah, how about control?
Is that going to be one of the problems?
Well, I'm going to just put it as develop friends, and you can take it a step farther if that's how you see it.
Secure natural resources.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this, let's say, access to natural resources.
Mm-hmm. Say Saudi Arabia. Okay. A little oil.
Yeah, this is, I suppose, a polite way of saying that.
Dictate to them how to live.
I think we should include the Buy America condition.
Okay.
How about
Buy America or Ship America? You have to use our Merchant Marine.
How about the problem of corrupting our own democracy and biasing our foreign policy?
There's some point at which we get to interpretation.
Well, I'll give you a case example. If you look at the aid to Israel, we don't just look around the human rights violations. Mm-hmm. We don't just look around the nuclear preparation. There are even amendments passed which say that the U.S. aid cannot drop below the interest on all the loans that Israel owes. That's the Cranston Amendment. It's also true that there is one foreign country that you can donate to directly and get a tax reduction on the U.S. tax return. That's Israel.
Seriously?
That's true. And it's also true, which is the question this gentleman was asking, I think, and there's an interesting book about it, that there is an enormous amount of feedback into the political process. If you look at what the American-Israel Political Affairs Committee does by coordinating PAC money and so forth, is that they have become, they've made a trade with politicians, which I think corrupts our democracy, which is for a few votes and a small amount of money relative to your GNP, about $3 to $6 billion a year, we will make sure you have all the campaign funds you want and your opposition has got a chance to win. And so that while we think of this as achieving foreign policy goals, sometimes the tail wags the dog, not the other way around. And so I think there are problems that have to do with, I mean, that's what Perot and Parr is talking about.
Yeah. See, I tend to be a little skeptical of some of these arguments, and partly that's one of the reasons I wanted to look at the numbers. This is one of the reasons I wanted to look at the numbers on where the aid is going, because I wanted you to think about, is aid going to countries that doesn't make any sense at all? Or can you understand some reason, politically or whatever, that why we would be giving aid to a particular country? And the implication, I think, of what you're saying is we wouldn't be giving aid to Israel were it not for this heavy, these substantial expenditures.
Or at least not with some other conditions that are on there now.
And I think that's debatable. I think there's reason to think we would still, that we have enough stake or concern about Israel, that we would give Israel substantial aid anyway. But I'd like to ask, so I'm going to resist putting corrupting American democracy up. But I would like to suggest, because this was mentioned earlier, I think there's a lot of corruption in other countries that we have sustained if we haven't encouraged through.
So you could just write corruption down there and it would sort of.
Yeah, I'll write corruption out there and you may read into it what you wish.
I'd like to see under problems the same thing, buying America. How much of our money is coming back, buying our banks, buying our resort areas?
Okay, the difference then, so this is, we have a nice technical term for that, foreign direct investment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There are some that say that we can live without it now.
What about NAFTA?
My sense is some of the foreign direct investment has dropped off. Couple of years. Yeah. It was big in the 80s, yeah. but I believe it's dropped off. Why or how we're sustaining ourselves, I don't know.
Is that coming from buying oil, basically? Our unbalanced trade.
Okay, I have to say, I don't see this as a direct consequence of aid.
I mean, except for misappropriation of funds that some of these dictators are taking themselves and investing back in this country.
So
as far as...
Well, I will bracket it in the sense that there are some people here who see this as a consequence of foreign aid, but I'm not sure that it is, because, at least for one reason, because the major foreign direct investors are Japan, Britain, the Netherlands, Canada.
The guy that the Philippines, he took all that foreign aid and
Marcos.
Right.
Yeah, and his wife bought lots of shoes.
Yeah.
So.
Which weren't made here.
I'm sure they weren't made here, yeah.
Actually, you might want to clarify the conditions. Buy American products.
Yeah.
Right,
Okay, here.
Yeah. American. Yeah, there we are.
Which is a reasonable request, by the way. I don't think they promised.
Did
Aaron buy a Caterpillar tractor or a Kubota tractor from Japan with that foreign aid?
Yeah.
I mean,
the issue
I would raise is similar to the issue that Keith's raising about aid to Israel that comes back as lobbying funds.
That's different.
Which is, if they're buying the Caterpillar tractor because they need a tractor, I'm not troubled too much. If the whole point here, they don't really need the tractor. But we want to give them money. Maybe they can figure out some use for the tractor. What we're really doing is supporting U.S. industry. We're not genuinely helping the target country. Then I'm troubled.